I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify. It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Live from New York, it's the show that is signing with the Jets. If all goes well, it's first things first. Today, Aaron Rodgers, not a Jet. Randall Cobb, yeah. Alan Lazard, Mercedes Lewis, and OBJ might be. Yeah. What are the chances? This all
Joe Rogan. Possibly
you
as well.
You think so?
Yeah, I'm hearing that.
Oh, he is stout.
You know what that makes
on the line.
Sense.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Davante Adams weighs in on his new QB, Jimmy G.
Ooh.
Will Davante support Jimmy as much as Brew does?
Who no. He seems to like you. I saw his tweet.
What? And finally.
Instagram, whatever that was.
It's National Pie Day. So we're doing Nick's version of Title Pie. Dusty over there celebrating National Pie Day. Congratulations, Dusty.
I didn't know it was National
and
Pie Day.
Circumferences around the world.
I can't wait
oh,
to see pie,
the pie like that. It's 314.
Yeah. So did you not get that or are you acting?
No, I really didn't get it. I thought you meant like National Pie Day, like it's National Cake Day.
Does kind of.
I got it. Sorry.
Meet in the middle alongside Nick Redd and Kevin Wild.
On a strange tangent.
Tangent. That's a good math pun.
Oh,
we're
good.
Talking pie.
Did you do that on purpose?
Yeah.
Don't think I didn't
that's
know that. Don't think I didn't know that.
Rough start. Warriors won again. This time over the Suns. Klay goes for 33 in the first half. They had 5 in the second half. No one ever says
two
that.
In a row.
Five. 8 for 12 from three, bro. Steph added 23 and said he loved, quote, a motivated Klay. Now, Nick thinks the Warriors are at 0% of his title pie. Sorry to give away the segment up at 4 o'clock.
Zero?
That's where they've been.
How confident are you in one of your several
half picks?
No, they were my, were my preseason pick in the West. Actually, to win it all.
To win it
Brooklyn.
All.
Brooklyn is, since has disbanded, so they're off. Look, I'm not going to sit here and say they are, absolutely the clear-cut favorite in the West, the team to beat. But are they contenders? That's your question? Absolutely.
Not.
No. Nick, how in the world in a wide-open West, first of all, just their experience, their basketball IQ, which I would argue as far as basketball IQ and experience is undeniable, they got the most in the West. Easily.
Sure.
All right, no doubt as a team. And their main gun, Steph, is in his prime still. He's still a great player.
Yeah,
he's
and that's
still
a testament
phenomenal.
To him. At 35, he shouldn't still be in his prime, especially at that size. But
he's playing as well.
No doubt about it.
And here's the other thing, Nick. Klay.
Yep.
Klay's in the calendar year of 2023. Now, I agree with you. I thought he was falling off because of the injuries.
Yeah, exactly.
He's averaged 25 points. He's shooting over 40% from three in this calendar year. And we saw what he did last night, as you mentioned.
Wild's always been a big calendar year guy anyway.
They have – here's the thing. They're the best shooting team in the league.
Okay.
They take the most threes in the league. And in an NBA where shooting is – the three is more important than ever, you cannot write them
they
off.
They should convince the league to add the three-point line to the arenas other than Oracle.
That's fine. You can talk about that. I get it, the road record, and I want to see what they do in this five-game road.
I'll tell you what they're going to do. They're going to lose a bunch of them. So can we just throw – so listen,
he believes in the Lakers.
I am not fickle. Well, the Lakers have played better than the Warriors over the last since the 2-10 start. The Warriors, if the Warriors' path to the championship involves only playing teams whose superstar, transcendent, Hall of Fame, top 12 ever guy is not there, then maybe they got a shot. But beating the Giannis-less Bucks at home and then beating the Durant-less Suns at home is not going to make me, unlike the rest of the fickle media, all of a sudden act like the Warriors are something they haven't been, which is a good team. They have been the definition this year of average. After 20 games, they were 10-10. After 20 games, they were 40 games, they were 20-20. After 60 games, they were 30-30. And here's guessing that after 80 games, they're going to be 40-40.
They're over 500 right now.
This moment they are, but unfortunately for him, they're about to go on a five-game road trip. Can we show you their next half dozen games? Brew, let's be honest here. This is their next six.
Yep.
Five straight on the road and then Philly. What do you think they will go on this in the six-game stretch? Because I'm going to peg it at 2-4.
Oh no! At least 3-3. At least.
Okay.
And look, well, the road record is a concern. I'm not going to sit here with blinders on.
Yeah, it's
horrific.
Yeah.
Okay. However, again, the experience. I mean, I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt.
But don't let me can
because
I ask you this?
They've got so much championship pedigree.
I understand that, but can I ask you this question? If you're going to play I shouldn't say play. If you're going to bring up, and I think it's valid in certain instances, the experience card, is it not just as valid as a counterpoint to say, yeah, they're emotionally spent from the championship last year? What a relief, how important it was. And you know where you see that? When they go on the road.
That's right.
When they don't have their home crowd generates for them the emotion they need, the force that they need. But when they have to generate it themselves, they are unable to. And I would argue this also, Wilds, the young players have developed, most notably Poole, and then Wiseman's gone, and Kuminga is, you know, hurt himself, unfortunately.
But he's been
He's been fine. But I think Poole's developed bad habits. And I would also argue, not to circle everything back to the punch, but Draymond acknowledged as much himself that punch removed some of his authority. Yep. So do you not think it's in play that maybe some of those bad habits that Jordan Poole, I believe, has developed, is why he's not always closing games, is why the team seems to get frustrated with him, that Draymond could have nipped that in the bud back in December, but he lost the authority to coach the guy up, to yell at him, do whatever he does, because you can't do it to the kid you hit in the face, and that we all saw you hit in the face. For all those reasons, and for the fact that, yes, if Klay scores 35, they're unbelievable. But for whatever it's worth, 21 times in Klay Thompson's career at home, he has scored 35-plus in the regular season. They are 21-0. When he goes off at home, they never lose. So I am not going to overreact, Wilds, to yesterday's game or the Milwaukee overtime win without Giannis.
Okay. Klay this season in wins. 25 points when they win, and they lose 18. So you could argue as Klay gets hotter, the team will win. Brew, my thing about Nick's take is the team is good, and even you acknowledge they lack maybe energy, maybe focus on the road. Klay's quote after the game, I think we're going to do it with these next five games. It's our time. If you, I don't know why you don't subscribe to the flip a switch philosophy that they're champions. Yeah, maybe they were coasting a little bit, but now that they're ready to start playing.
Look, I don't think this would be the equivalent of flipping. I mean, they've been horrible. They even if they're lollygagging on the road, they should have more than seven wins. But I do think, like I said, I want to see. I think they'll at least go 3-3, Nick. If they don't go 3-3, it will be a bit. It will be concerning.
Okay, and I'll, you know what?
Some of those teams, what, they got Houston.
They have Atlanta. We could show it again.
Timberwolves.
Houston and
Atlanta are too easy.
Well, Atlanta's fighting for the playoff lives, but they should beat them. Houston is a disaster. Memphis without Ja.
Right. Yep.
Dallas, which is playing terribly right now. And then the Clippers tomorrow. So I'll meet you halfway in this regard. You said if they don't go at least 3-3, you'll be concerned. If they win Wednesday, I'll be impressed. Assuming Kawhi plays, and I don't know why he wouldn't. But if they go, because
that would be an impressive
they and the
win,
Clippers
no
are tied right now for the five spot.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that when the playoffs begin, when the play-in begins, the Warriors are going to be in the play-in. I think the Lakers and the Mavs are going to jump over them because I don't believe the Warriors can win consistently on the road. And when we say flip a switch, it should be noted historically, we've never seen a team, champion or not, go from where they are right now in the standings in the regular season to then flip a switch and win the title. We did see the Rockets
as
a six seed, but they added Clyde Drexler mid-year, so it was kind of a difference. The Warriors didn't add a major piece mid-season. When we talk about the Lakers in the, 2001 or 02 flipping a switch, what that means is they were playing like a 50-win team when we knew they could be a 65-win team, not a team that has been hovering at 500 all year.
Let me show you one thing. This graphic, Nick, they've got their starting five. Now, they got to get Wiggins back. We didn't even mention Andrew Wiggins.
I don't know if that's...
The starting five of the Warriors. That's Looney. You see it up there. Number one offensive rating. Number one net rating. They're beating teams by an average of 22 points a game with that starting five in the defense, obviously,
Drew,
top 10.
Have you seen what Steph and Kerr have said? Wiggins might be gone for the year.
I don't think, honestly, without Wiggins, I don't think they can't win it. Because there was talk. I mean, Steph was clearly the finals MVP, but Wiggins was right there for a while.
It was critical.
So they do need him for his defense and
you're right. We should have mentioned it. I don't anticipate that he's coming back. I don't know what he's dealing with.
No. Yeah.
But Colin said on his show today that he heard from someone that they are not optimistic that he's coming back. It's a personal issue, and we don't know
what that hurts.
Steph had some throwback trash talk last night, saying, "This isn't 2014 anymore."
That is such...
Chris Paul responded after the game by saying, "Huh? Take a listen."
I don't know what happened in 2014. Y'all tell me.
It must have been from y'all been in the playoffs that year? The Clippers?
That's like 9 years ago. Yeah. What happened? No, I don't know nothing about that. 2014. I ain't trying to be funny. I promise I don't know. Y'all got to ask him. I don't know what happened in 2014.
It's an effective trash talk.
I know what happened.
Oh, go ahead.
The last time Chris Paul beat Steph in the playoffs.
Of course. 7-game series. Yep.
I love this from Steph for two reasons. One, it shows that he keeps receipts. Like Jordan, like LeBron, he keeps receipts. Because sometimes you mentioned, are they spent? He's won 4 championships. Mm-hmm. You need other things to motivate you sometimes. So this is him. You know, I mean, going back 9 years for some motivation against Chris Paul. The other thing, Nick, and look, Steph's always been cocky. He's always been sure of himself. But I'm seeing maybe even a little cockier Steph.
Oh,
I mean, since he's come back from – well, and also since he's come back from this injury, 31 points, 50% shooting from three on 11 attempts a game.
Because they have to have
You're shooting 11 it's their threes only way a game to, yeah. and hitting half of them? That's crazy. So I love it.
Okay, so I love this as well. My frustration with Steph years ago was actually not with Steph. It was with the media. Because they treated him as, the humble superstar. I was like, there ain't nothing humble about Steph Curry. He didn't have humble beginnings. His daddy was an NBA player. Everyone's like, because he went to Davidson. He was still a top 10 pick of the draft. And as soon as we figured out his ankles worked, we knew from that night in Madison Square Garden 11 years ago that this guy was a killer. And he carries himself like a killer, which he should. So I liked it. This also made me a little sad. Because this should have been a better rivalry.
Yeah.
Chris thinks he's better than Steph. He's not, but he thinks he is. I'm certain of it. Maybe not at this moment today,
right.
But that he's a better player than Steph Curry. He's always carried himself like that.
He definitely isn't.
And we saw them play each other in 2014 in a classic when Chris was on the Clippers before the Warriors started their run, back when Mark Jackson was the coach.
Yep.
It was Mark Jackson's last game coaching the Warriors was this series. And then because of Chris's team's shortcomings, we never got it again, really. So let's just...
But also Chris's shortcomings.
That's what I mean. The team... So in 2015, we would have gotten it. The Clippers were up 3-1 on the Rockets, and they blew it. In 2016 and 17, the Clippers lost to Portland. Now Chris got hurt in that series, and to Utah before they could have played them. Now they did get to play each other in 2018 and 19 when he was with Houston, but... That's when Durant's there and Chris gets hurt in one of those series.
Beat, or they up 3-2. Yep.
And then, now that when it would have been a fair fight, Durant's gone, Chris is on Phoenix. In 2021, Golden State misses the playoffs. Last year, what happened? They blow a 3-2 lead to Dallas, so we don't get it there either. Like, I feel like we should have gotten Chris and Steph in the playoffs in a fair fight a bunch of times. Instead, after that series... We got it two times, and both those times, Chris and Steph were kind of the second best guys on their own team.
Well, there was a year when Durant got hurt.
Got hurt, but you correct.
But he got hurt. 2-2 when he got hurt. 2-2,
but he was there for most of the series. Right. That's right.
Too long.
What?
It's too long ago.
Too long ago? No, you don't like it? Receipts.
20. I mean, if Chris Paul doesn't know what you're talking about.
Well, it behooves Chris to say he doesn't know. Because he knew he didn't win. Or well, he actually won that time, but he knew he lost.
A regular season game in March?
No, so he was playing dumb. I think he was playing dumb. He didn't know exactly maybe, but he knew Steph got the best of me probably.
Isn't this a version of the same tentacle of trash talk that Luka was talking about with Devin Booker? When Luka's like, yeah, you wait till you're up to talk. Where Luka essentially was saying, until you beat me in the postseason, you don't get to talk. The fact that Steph Curry is saying, it's not like Chris has not beaten him since then. He's saying, it's been a decade since you beat me when it mattered. And
the only difference, though, is Luka beat Devin once. Right? Steph's beat Chris time and time again. So that's the difference.
Coming up next, the latest on Aaron Rodgers. He might be a Jet in the commercial breaks.
Might be.
It's possible.
When Wild said too long, I thought he was talking about my history.
Well, a little bit of both.
That too.
Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So, to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF.
Welcome back to a big Tuesday show. We've got breaking news, kind of, on Aaron Rodgers. Report from Diana Russini. Quote, Rodgers has provided the Jets with a wish list of free agents. He'd like them to target and acquire Randall Cobb, Alan Lazard, Mercedes Lewis, and ellipses, well-placed, Odell Beckham Jr.
Do we have her follow-up tweet?
Well, what is that?
He's focused on special teams as well. Oh, wants McAfee to be the punter.
Okay.
Right. He does. No, Joe Rogan, strength coach.
Wouldn't be surprised.
McAfee, the punter. He's got a Rogan shaman as team chaplain. He's got a lot of demands.
Go do the nutritionist now.
You go right ahead.
Super Bowl champion Greg Jennings is here. Greg, you were not on the list, so
yeah,
first of
that's
all,
BS, man.
Hey, you could be on that list.
Wait a minute, because that's why I got my phone here.
Anything?
You waiting for
group
a beat?
Chat with Jordy Nelson, James Jones, myself.
James Jones might end up on there.
He said, give me a day.
Okay.
Give me a day. Jordy, James, be ready.
Get the band back together.
The phone might be ringing.
Honestly, I will say this. Like, I thought it was, as much as this is about Aaron Rodgers and he's kind of holding both sides hostage, it's cool that he's doing this for these guys. Like, because looking at it from that perspective, mm-hmm. like Randall Cobb, I don't know if he would sign anywhere right now.
He just shut it down.
I don't know if he signs anywhere.
Probably not.
And so for Aaron to do this, ensure that he possibly has a spot. Alan Lazard, I believe he would definitely get signed somewhere. But for what? We don't know. But we know that he would be in a position where he can thrive, and he has a quarterback that depends on him and really believes in what he does. Mercedes Lewis, kind of the same. I don't know if he signed somewhere.
Oh, we know. He would not be signing.
He's 38-year-old
tight end who had six catches last
year. That part, that aspect of it, I commend Aaron for it. Now getting back to it just being about him, this is about him. And so I've been hearing like this whole Tom Brady did. This is completely different from what Tom Brady did. Tom Brady went, he decided, I'm going to Tampa. Right. And then he started attracting guys. Aaron Rodgers, it appears to me, what you said yesterday, he is reluctant. He has been reluctant. There is no way you are like, I am all in on the New York Jets, and you don't just go. You need everybody to kind of come with you, to walk into that unknown territory with you versus you just going out and doing it yourself.
Look, I like the idea of them bringing in a bunch of guys, not necessarily ex-Packers, but I mean, you know, because they just Aaron Rodgers is not enough. They need. I wish he would have put some offensive linemen on there. They had the second worst offensive line in the league last year. In Green Bay, they had the top five offensive line. So you should be concerned about the offensive line. But here's what concerns me, Greg. How do the Jets receivers feel? Well, I mean, that's three receivers.
It's that transfer portal.
And obviously, Garrett Wilson, he's awesome. Yeah, like, why are you – I get Cobb. If you want to bring in Cobb just for – you know, he can be the wise elder that helps. Because I don't
third
think
guy
he's
in the
that much.
How many wise elders?
Yeah, I mean,
he's the wise elder.
Lazard will be a good number two. Cobb, I guess, if you want. But Mercedes Lewis, I mean, come on. Now guys, it's like, what are you trying to come in here and do?
Listen, what Greg was talking about in the beginning, I wholeheartedly agree with. If it were an uncapped sport where you can have as many players as you want. If it were a different business, this is a great friend move.
It is.
That I would like to think that if I were ever in his position something, I would do it too. Your own stars elsewhere. Oh. But I'm saying I didn't want to be insulting to you guys saying that. But I like to think that if you had full leverage over a company and you wanted to be like, hire my friends too.
Yeah.
I like that idea. Yeah. But in a salary-capped sport where you only have 53 roster spots, it's not a smart idea. And when we show you the guys' numbers, here's each of these guys' ages and production last year. So Alan Lazard is the only one who would have had a market other than Odell, obviously, who didn't play last year without this. And Lewis was the oldest player by a wide margin to catch multiple passes last year. And Cobb, 32 doesn't seem old. Here's the entire list of receivers last year that caught multiple passes older than 32. DeSean Jackson, A.J. Green, Julio Jones, T.Y. Hilton, Cole Beasley. That's the list. Mm. So 32 for a receiver is old. So I say all that to say this. The Jets should pull the plug.
Oh, and just go.
What?
They should abort this disaster before you go further down the road. Yeah, I'm not. I am not.
The thing is where they go.
Kneeling. You know what? Go to Lamar. And if you don't want to do that, honest to God, I know you won't like this idea, but bridge it with Baker for a year. Something.
Baker?
No, hold on.
Off going with Zach Wilson.
No, you don't believe that. You don't actually think.
I don't think he's better than Baker, but I'm just saying. Baker in New York, Baker's not good.
Well, he may or may not be. He played well for the Rams with McVay, but set that aside. This won't work. And I am not bending the knee for a guy that I have at most for 2 years that I believe is going to walk into this situation as the seventh best quarterback at best in his own conference.
Right.
You can't. Listen, if it wasn't enough that they hired Nat Hackett, and it's not enough that, okay, Alan Lazard's got a real market, you would feel comfortable with him. Once I get the third text, it's like Cobb, too.
Yeah.
And by the way, Mercedes Lewis, he's available. They're like, we know he's available. Just like the Packers knew he was available this year.
He's doing the same thing to the Jets that he did to the Packers.
You can't run business this way.
No, and the problem is, like, these guys aren't going to make your team better.
Right. Well, what about OBJ? We're kind of missing the
Odell,
elephant in the room.
Odell, yes. I think he makes them. The odd man out here, let's go back to how you said the receivers will feel. Like, I don't think they feel any type of way. They know who they are.
Four receivers?
When you talk about Garrett Wilson, he's a stud.
Garrett Wilson's the only one I think who would feel comfortable.
Yeah. Elijah Moore, Randall Cobb is not playing over Elijah Moore. Like, no. But Corey Davis, he's odd man out. Corey Davis, they would have to cut ties. I just don't see this happening to where they are improving the roster and they're saying, okay, whatever you want, we'll do, we'll do, we'll do. I'm with you.
Because, again, why isn't he looking at the offensive line?
I'm with you more on if this is starting to get a little bit out of hand. Again, I love that he's doing this for his guys, but it's like, wait a minute.
Is the juice worth the squeeze, Wilds?
You wanted him to be all in.
Yeah.
You want him to go to all the non-necessary team activities, even though you can track.
Yeah, and I think this is a workaround on that.
Oh, that he wouldn't go.
Of course not. Why? I don't need to. I'm on the same page with Cobb. I'm on the same page with Lazard. I'm on the same page with Mercedes Lewis.
What about Odell?
I don't know that Odell's showing up to a lot of offseason stuff either.
No one wants to show up to
why Nick's saying, look, obviously I'd say they go get Lamar instead of him. But I will say this, and I don't think it'll work. I think they win 10 games max. They squeak into the playoffs and get beat. Max.
They're not winning
max.
10 games.
They might not win. Okay. 10. I'm with you on that, but I'm saying max. But I got to be honest, as a spectator, I am excited about this because it's going to be just another exciting storyline for us to follow. They're not going to win nothing as far as significant, but
where would you draw the line? What if the next phone, you know what I mean? I was joking Jake about Kimura. McAfee, obviously, but where would you draw the
Lewis
line? We saw
ridiculous.
In Denver.
If he tries to come get me, I'm drunk.
Greg's in New York all the time.
Let's say that's the list of players. We saw in Denver, I'd like an office. We saw that seemed to not go over great. That you already kind of gave him a personal coach in Nat Hackett, who, again, I'm not in the room. I just know Chris Collinsworth told us he loves him because he makes him laugh and play darts together. Again, to take it up with Chris Collinsworth, not with me. Where do you draw the line? And as far as the offseason Wilds, the only thing that I have seen confirmed on Aaron Rodgers' offseason schedule is speaking at a hallucinogenic conference.
Yeah.
I don't know about anything else on there. And there is, I do wonder in an alternate universe where if this were Lamar Jackson giving a list of washed players who he was buddies with, wanted to go to.
What?
And he was going to, instead of a hallucinogen, a pot smoking convention. And I do wonder how the reaction would be, but that's neither here nor there. But I don't know how much I wonder as far as I know what it would be. But there, at some point, there's a line. There wouldn't be for Mahomes, right? There wouldn't be for maybe Josh Allen. The more you deteriorate and the higher maintenance that you are, at some point teams got to say.
Well, here's a good point. Mahomes wouldn't do that. Brady wouldn't do that.
Brady did do it.
No, he did not. First of all, he went there, like you said, he went there first, brought in a few guys. But
it
he also brought in guys. He won multiple Super Bowls with two. He brought in Antonio Brown. Here's the deal, outstanding citizen. But he still could play.
Those guys made that team better.
Yep. Right. Yep. He didn't make him go get Edelman this year.
Great. That's it.
He didn't make him go get
Edelman. They helped him win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Well, I know they caught touchdowns.
Yeah.
Antonio Brown wasn't 38 years old with 6 receptions.
It's fair. the guy's trying to be successful. I'm not mad at it.
He's just trying to see how much he can get away with. It's all about attention.
Okay. Oh,
speaking of attention.
Jimmy G, get your graphics ready.
I saw the tweet. It looked favorable to me. That's all I'm saying. Devontae's
Flippin' Bats with Ben Verlander is your only place for the World Baseball Classic coverage. Hi, I'm Ben Verlander, host of Flippin' Bats.
And I'm Alex Curry, co-host of Flippin' Bats. From Taiwan to Phoenix and Miami, we'll be providing you daily updates on all the action taking place in this year's WBC.
So wherever you get your podcasts, make sure to like and subscribe us at Flippin' Bats.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Jimmy G's new favorite wide receiver.
They might not even make the play-in at this point.
Davante Adams.
Took to social media to be cryptic and then to clarify. First, the Instagram. If we haven't talked in the last 3 weeks, don't hit me about this stuff. Thanks.
I didn't think that was that cryptic.
It was obvious what he's saying.
Don't try to get scoops from me if we're not actually friends.
I haven't talked to anybody in the last 3 weeks. Yeah. Hey, don't make too much of it. My phone's dry, and then here comes everyone trying to get the inside scoop. It's annoying. That's it. Jimmy, let's get this money. Wow. The contract's already done, so I think it's more of like a symbolic for like yardage and stuff.
I agree. Yeah, okay. I agree.
There's some level of excitement there, bro. Should Devontae be as excited about Jimmy G as you are?
I mean, does Devontae like winning? Has Devontae seen this? Maybe he hasn't.
Oh my God.
But this would definitely warm his heart. Look at the men on that list.
Legends.
We just send it to him.
And if he hasn't seen that, maybe Dusty, he's seen this.
What's this?
Seven highest passer ratings in history in the regular season.
Break.
And look at where he is. No, I don't make this up. Y'all piss off all you want, Jimmy G. I'm not fudging the numbers. These are the facts. I'm the facts guy. That's the feelings guy right there. I'm the facts guy.
I know.
Even if I didn't like Jimmy G,
yeah,
this is the truth.
Okay. It's true.
Can we be
serious? Here's the last thing, Nick, quickly. Done. This is what Devontae should be most excited about.
Yeah, sure.
That Jimmy G's only making $23 million.
Oh.
Because that will give them money to go out and get defenders, go out and strengthen that offensive line, presumably. And now, I'm just saying, Nate. I'm not predicting playoffs yet.
Because Jimmy G's a quarterback.
Hey, guys, do you remember last year? Wilds, when you were trying to, in the AFC West, when you were trying to make the case the Chiefs could miss the playoffs, you're like, it's not just on the table. It's the centerpiece. It's the Thanksgiving turkey. Yeah, he said all that.
And I said,
you know, I'm going to do very simple math. Best coach, best quarterback. I think they're going to win the division. The Raiders have the worst coach and the worst quarterback in the division. The worst coach.
That's true.
And the
I'll give you that.
No, I'll give you that.
It's a tough
quarterback.
Lot of good coaches, and is he the worst coach?
Yeah, I know you don't like the Chargers coach. Yeah, I like him more than you, but Josh McDaniel's not a good coach. But set that aside.
Go.
You want to know how I think Devontae should be excited, or how he should feel?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Like this is going to be his last year at the Raiders.
Oh.
I think he's going to ask for a trade after this year. Devontae Adams was a kick-ass playoff player. 11 playoff games, 900 yards, 8 touchdowns, 72 catches. He did not go to the Raiders to be in the NFL wilderness, Greg. He went there. I think he knew that they might be a downgrade slightly from where the Packers had been, but it was going to be with my college buddy, Derek Carr, and he also knew this. Can we show the Warren Sharp tweet? At least Derek Carr, he has some issues as a quarterback, but he actually does chuck it around. So if you guys can see that bottom left.
No one can see it.
Okay, well, you can't see because you're far away.
No one can see it.
Those people
can
see
it. Can we make it smaller? What are those?
Okay, what are they?
Oh, those are people.
The great graphic.
Okay, that's what they are.
Good God.
Can I explain what it is?
Yes, in detail,
please. Do, please.
Nobody throws it deep less than Jimmy and less effectively than Jimmy.
Oh, is that Jimmy Downer?
Can I show you a graphic that actually works?
Okay, sure.
Wow. Dusty,
you got to rip in too?
Dusty spent all his effort on your graphics. Warren Sharp.
My graphics are simple and to the point.
Show you a different graphic, Greg. Here's mine, really simple. Devontae Adams catches a lot of balls. Oh, look at that. Nice and big. Big picture of Devontae Adams right there. Targets 32. Receptions 14. Touchdowns 9. One deep touchdown in 11 games. So, Greg, quite simply, ignore Nick's graphic and just focus on this. Jimmy G can't throw it deep.
That's what my graphic proves.
I know, but no one could figure it out.
Okay.
That's correct. Had a monocle. You could get up to your screen. So will this work or is it going to be a total failure?
It works because he understands what's going to be asked. He understands he has a rapport, a relationship. It's not going to be good enough.
Oh.
And so for me, if we're just solely looking at Devontae Adams, no.
Okay.
Now, remember, Devontae got busy with Jared Stidham.
That's true.
He did.
Stidham
153 yards.
Yes, I understand that. Yeah. But what they just shown with those graphics, that's been my number one disappointment with Jimmy Garoppolo. He, not only does he not throw it deep. He doesn't even really like throwing outside the numbers.
No.
So Devontae thrives in those areas. And so when you look at what makes him so special, yes, can he beat you anywhere on the field? Of course. But when you eliminate an aspect of his game that makes him so special, naturally as a quarterback position, like, you can't do that. He has to be able to push the ball outside the numbers and down the field.
Right.
He can do that, then.
Amazing they got to a
they'll finish fourth
never throw.
Or third in that division.
So some of the money, perhaps, that they saved on Jimmy G, they went and spent on Jacoby Myers, the Patriots' most productive wide receiver and favorite target of Mac Jones, a.k.a. the baby goat.
It's going to hurt.
Reunites with Josh McDaniels on a three-year, $33 million deal.
That's not, you know what?
Okay.
That's not the only person he reunites with. Speaking of throwing deep, maybe if they're worried that Jimmy can't, you know who can?
Okay, Greg, I hope you...
Jacoby Myers. He gets to reunite with his favorite deep threat crew, Chandler Jones. Give me the video. Oh, not forget the picture. Give me the video, please. Oh, look at that pass. Oh,
ooh, ooh.
That, there it is.
This is cogent analysis.
I'm telling you right now, it was about as good of a touchdown pass as anyone in a Raider uniform threw last year, and now they've got the guy. I'm more interested, Wilds, not just in watching you watch this video, but... What are your Patriots doing?
Oh, I tell you what they're doing.
What?
Saving up for DeAndre Hopkins.
Okay, if they don't get DeAndre Hopkins, what are they doing?
Ooh.
Because you talked about all this cap space.
Jerry Judy.
I hope they do.
Oh, Jerry trade Judy. For Jerry Judy?
Well, we've got $26 million in cap space, and then D-Hop has to kind of maneuver his deal. But in all seriousness, so like the Jacoby Myers, mush-faced Mac Jones aside, if you wanted, like, you drafted Mac Jones in the first round. We saw Jalen make a big leap with A.J. Brown. So what are we expecting Mac Jones to do? That you took away a tight end. Now you took away a wide receiver. You brought in Bill O'Brien. We need a big wide receiver, and DeAndre Hopkins is the person to do it. Greg, co-sign me?
I co-sign that. I like DeAndre Hopkins.
If it happens,
I like Jacoby
Myers.
I like the acquisition of Jacoby Myers, too, for the Raiders.
You kind of like the Raiders. You said it was going to work.
Look, we had the banners up here. Like, they're not going to do anything.
Oh, no. They're not better than the Chiefs. But
no,
you seem
they're not
like
better than
like
the Chargers. Like, and they probably won't be better than the Denver Broncos.
It's a tough division. It's a good division.
Look at this. Russ can't even say it with a straight face. But they've got a guy who just wins.
What?
So I'm sure they'll be fine, bro.
He might even surprise me.
I cannot wait.
If he wins, he might even surprise me.
Games
yeah.
So that
graphic
that you continue
forever.
To show
yeah.
is over.
Exactly.
Just the facts, guys. He's not going to sit up here and lie.
I don't have pom-poms up here.
Yeah.
All right, if Jimmy G wets the bed, I'll say it.
He does.
But I'm just pointing out the facts.
You guys are fans.
They come to me for facts.
That's true. What are you going
to
there for?
They come to y'all for feelings.
They come to me for the Groundhog Day stuff.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Coming up next, the best new segment in all of sports television, specifically basketball television. It's Title Pie.
Tuesday Title Pie.
Tuesday Title Pie. It's coming up in 13 minutes. We've got a new pie and a bigger slice for the Lakers. It's no huddle time. If you thought we were huddling, dead wrong. Some guys in the midst of a contract dispute, like Kyler, remember that? You delete his Twitter or you change your bio. You scrub your Instagram when you're wearing a Cardinals jersey. Not Lamar. You know what he says? I'm diving back in, fellas. Here's what I think. My favorite one is a gentleman wearing several caps. The other interesting newsworthy part here, Nick, is the 133 3 years fully guaranteed, but I need an agent, laughing face, and then people throwing in a poop emoji.
Yeah.
On the wall on hopes it sticks, another laughing face.
Yep.
So I liked this. Specifically, the gentleman with all the caps.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, someone's lying, bro. Did you like Lamar's activity?
Well, look, I like he was responding to an Adam Schefter tweet about saying he turned down $200 million guaranteed. he doesn't agree with that. He thinks that's false reporting. So if that's the case, I like him responding to that, because all of us and every fan sitting there thinking, he turned down $200 million guaranteed. So if it's not true, it makes him look bad, okay? So he has a responsibility to put that at, look, that's not true. That's not what I turned down. The other thing, that 133 addressing agents, I could do without that. I don't think he needs to get involved with responding to every little report. But that first one was significant, so I'm fine.
So I like him saying what he is saying is, his, because the way guarantees, so the audience understands it. There's injury guarantees, which are often fake guarantees. There's full guarantees, like what you no matter what will get. Mm-hmm. And then there's a de facto guarantees. So, for instance, Kyler's contract essentially had $121 million guaranteed. Technically, it was 104, but they would have to cut him after 1 year for him to not get 121. So his de facto guarantee was 121. Russ's de facto guarantee was 161, what he would have within 3 years of the deal. And Lamar is saying 3 for 133. Forget Deshaun Watson.
That's a de facto guarantee.
Is not what the market says I deserve.
Correct.
And here's the other part. Josh Allen, by the way, signed, got 3 for 133 as far as de facto guarantees. That was 2 years ago. And here's the other critical part. Everyone in every negotiation understands this. The earlier you sign a contract extension, the more money you give up, because you are foregoing dollars for safety. So when Kyler has 2 years left on his deal, he's not maximizing the dollars because he wants the safety. Mm-hmm. Kyler signed a deal with 2 years left. Russ signed a deal with 2 years left. Josh Allen signed a deal with 2 years left. Lamar has 0 years left. So he should, they were all in the 3 for 133 range. He should be higher than that. Forget what he's accomplished just based on that. So I do think that's valuable information, and I think it shows how far apart the Ravens and Lamar are, for good reason. They are offering him a contract that would make sense if he had 2 years left on his deal when he has 0 years left on his deal.
Yeah, I loved it. I absolutely loved it for the reasons that you said. We're talking about credible sources that we all, as soon as we see them reported, it's like, oh, shoot, this is it. This is fact. But Lamar's like, no. This isn't true. And there would be such a dark cloud or a stain on Lamar if he doesn't do this, because he doesn't have representation outside of himself and family, his mom. Like, so he has to say something. It's very reminiscent of early in the playoffs when everybody was saying why he wasn't playing and what he could play, and all that was coming out of Baltimore. He's like, no, this is what it is. This is my injury. This is what I'm dealing with. He only speaks when it's like, you know what? Let me quiet this.
Right. Yeah, but that was different, don't you think? Like the injury one, all of a sudden it was like a formal press release, and this is like memes and emojis.
Yeah, but he has to say something. For those of you who don't know what all the baseball caps is, that means you're lying.
Yeah. Like, I think everyone knows that.
I don't know if Brew actually knew that.
Wow! Shot fired!
He's been waiting 3 weeks to get that in. I'm not going to say why, but I know why.
Wow, it must have been when we weren't here.
Yes.
The day you and I were off, when Brew was running the show, he must have shots fired over there.
Oh, I was the leader of the show that day.
Oh, yeah.
It was fun. It was fun.
I'm glad he's sitting back over here.
Sorry, Hubs is yelling at me. Sorry. We're moving on to Russell Wilson in Denver.
Uh-oh.
Sorry, Hubs. What do you mean, uh-oh? This is your squad.
Well.
Broncos have spent $219 million during day one of free agency. Yeah.
You know, also, Patriots, they didn't run the wing T.
Remember this? We were like, it's so exciting, and then nothing happened.
No one else was that excited. You were like, Jonnu Smith, Hunter Henry, the new Gronk and Hernandez, and no one else believed it.
Ben Powers, you got a guard. You got Jarrett the Javelin.
It's a lot of money for a backup quarterback.
Well,
it is.
You wanted the defense, you got some defenders. Brew, do you like this?
They strengthen the offensive line.
There you go.
You got two offensive linemen from top 10 units in the league.
Boom.
Look, there's no excuses for Russ. You got the coach that he wanted, who we know is great with quarterbacks. You're strengthening the offensive line. We'll see what they end up doing with the skill position players, but they were pretty good last year, I thought. And you got Javonte Williams coming back, presumably, as a running back. The defense we know was legit. So there's no excuses. If Russ is close to what he used to be, then they should be a good team and fight for the playoffs, if not make it.
Okay.
Go ahead. I agree. I think this is poised for him to bounce back. Look, the organization is doing it their part. They're putting pieces in place to where it's like, okay, we're providing you with this. We got the coach who's in place. We know he's going to put together a great scheme. Now it's like, what are you going to bring to the
table? They're building a team that can win despite quarterback play. That's what they're trying to do. A run first. Defense oriented.
They definitely want to be able to support
him. They want to be able to run the ball.
No doubt.
What they are trying to do smartly, I believe.
Right.
Because they cannot get out of that deal for a minimum of another two seasons, and it would be really painful in 2 years, probably 3 years realistically. Is if Russ doesn't improve, can we still be a competent team unlike last year? And so they're trying to get a road grader right tackle, trying to get a big powerful guard, so they can run a lot of the offense that Russ hated so much in Seattle when he wasn't being allowed to cook. Like, that is what's I think Sean Payton understands that it is. By the way, I don't think Russ is going to be as bad as he was last year.
He was a bottom three quarterback in his conference.
He's not going to be that bad again. But I think Sean Payton is open to the possibility, Wilds, that he's not going to be good, that he's going to be mediocre, like that the best Russ is going to be is league average. And if that's the case, you got to find other ways to win, and I think the Broncos want to win in relative short order.
You know what I want to see? A little Taysom Hill action. A little Taysom Hill, Sean Payton.
Trade for Taysom Hill?
Well, I don't know. Remember, that contract's like $200 million. Yeah. It's going to work.
Coming up after the break. It's Title Pie. It's one of the best segments we've ever done in the history of the show. Next.
Just for the record, Greg, I knew what that meant.
No, you didn't.
I knew what that meant.
They're in our...
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Tomorrow, 2023 World Baseball Classic continues as the USA and Mookie Betts take on Colombia. Tomorrow, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports 1 and the Fox Sports app. It is Tuesday. It is time for our new segment called Title Pie. It's also the most literal segment we do because I'm holding an actual pie. Here's how it works. The larger slice of pie that you get, the better chance you have of winning the title. Thus, the title, Title Pie. Nick, please take it away.
All right, first we must show teams that get no slices whatsoever. By the way, we had a team moved up from no 0% to a percentage.
Oh,
we'll show you that. But first, the teams that have a 0% chance to win the title. Apologies to the Knicks. Knicks fans very mad at them walking the streets. The Timberwolves and, of course, the Warriors. And I see Brew literally drooling right now. I don't know if that's because he wants the pie or because he can't wait to argue with me about the Warriors. Go, what's up, Brew?
The Warriors. That's what, like, how in the world? You apologize to the Knicks fans?
Yeah.
How about apologizing to the people in San Francisco and the Bay Area? Look, I said earlier, I'm not saying they got to be the clear-cut favorites. You're saying they have no chance whatsoever. And I'm just looking at the team because I'm waiting to see the list like everybody else. But I'm looking at the teams that weren't on the 0% chance. Miami?
Well,
which has gone 5-8 over the last month.
Yeah.
They got a better chance than Golden State. Cleveland. So you're going to tell me Cleveland has a better shot of beating Boston and Milwaukee than Golden State has of winning the West? Come on. Memphis, whose best player's in Florida right now?
I'll explain my thoughts on all of those teams in a moment. Sacramento, don't you dare argue the Warriors have more chance than Sacramento.
Sacramento.
Don't argue.
Nick, you like doing history. You like going, well, this has never happened. That's never happened. Uh-huh. Guess what's never happened? a team that hasn't made the playoffs in nearly two decades to all of a sudden win the championship. Never happened.
Okay.
So take that to the bank.
What has never happened is a team that is right now 7-26, which means the most road games they could win if they went undefeated the rest of the way is 16, has won the title. Since 1980, no team that has finished under 500 on the road has won the title. And the Warriors right now have third worst road record, and it doesn't look like Wiggins come back. Now to the pie. 1%. Miami.
Oh.
They make the pie. You know, I watched that whole game last night. Jimmy Butler doing Jimmy Butler things. Mm-hmm. They show a graphic. Eric Spoelstra, 16 challenges this year, all in the fourth quarter, and 12-4 on them. Bam, making defensive stops. I'm like, playoff team. Can't discount them. They were a shot away from the finals last year. They made the finals two years prior. 1% chance.
They're the seventh
seed. Miami, 1%
chance. Has that ever happened?
Well, 1% chance. And yes, make the finals? Yeah. With 7 seed and 8 seeds made the finals. The New York Knicks, you demand I respect so much. 99 season. Look it up, Brew. I think you're working for the Akron Beacon Journal. 1%. I apologize. They had to drop some. Cleveland. So here's why they dropped. It's actually not due to anything they've done. It's due to the fact of how great Milwaukee has looked. And Cleveland is going to be in that 4-5 area, so they would have to play Milwaukee in round two. And I just don't see how they can get past Milwaukee, but give them 1%. Memphis has dropped as well. They're down to 2%. No Ja, no chance. Now, if Ja comes back, they will get a much larger piece of the pie because they've actually played well without him. I give them credit. But their chances of winning four straight rounds without him are non-existent. And the latest reporting that he's seeking counseling down in Florida makes it seem like the odds of him coming back unlikely. Mm. Dallas, down to 3%.
Your finals pick.
They're imploding. They are imploding. Brew's offering me an olive branch. Here's the thing, Brew. I don't need an olive branch because if you remember when we did our finals picks, I did something very shrewd. At the very end of picking Dallas, I said, however, if the Lakers trade Russ, I might have the Lakers. And the Lakers have traded Russ. So might. I can ride at it. Mr. Consistency. Might have multiple teams.
Mr.
Dallas, though, listen, the only reason they're not at 0% is because Luka could go crazy. Like, in a good way. That Luka could put the team on his back like he did last year.
So
but
you're
Jason
no longer
Kidd,
team Kyrie?
I've never been team Kyrie. You tried to foist that upon me, and I would not take it. Next, Clippers, 5%. And it would be higher. But did you guys see the opening of their new arena, the construction thing, and the beam signing? Struck me as a little odd. They're like,
I didn't see the beam signing, I saw everyone miserable and hard.
Okay, well, they were like, hey, everybody. Come the final beam. Kawhi comes sign it. Paul George comes sign it. Russell Westbrook comes sign it. And I'm like, oh boy. That's a sign that they still are going to try to act like it's a big three there. And so I like how they've been playing. I like how Kawhi's been playing. But that concerns me.
Also shot at Sacramento.
Speaking of beams, light the damn beam.
Go.
Sacramento moving up from 1% to 6%.
Wow.
6%.
Number one offense. Number one clutch rating. Maybe a first-team All-NBA guy in De'Aaron Fox. Ooh. The best team in California this year. The Sacramento Kings. It's never happened in their history. They were the best team in California. They have been this year.
How's the defense?
7%.
We'll see about that.
Hey, guys, you know what? Would you like me to get through the whole pie? It's getting late in the segment. A lot of interruptions over there. I think we have time for that later. 7%. Denver. So they go down just a tiny bit. Murray got dinged, which concerns me. Michael Porter Jr. is complaining about his role, and they've lost three straight.
Right.
9%. Downgraded.
Ooh.
Ooh. The Boston Celtics.
Ooh. Ooh.
Title Pie recognizes the strength of the curse of Broussard. And you see them lose to the Rockets yesterday without Şengün. Moving up 10%. The Lakers of Los Angeles. No one wants to play them. Be honest. Nobody wants to play them. And I think they are climbing and going to get to the sixth line. Huge game against the Pelicans tonight. 80 revenge game, then you get the Rockets, you win both those, you're 500 for the first time since last year. 12%. The Suns, downgraded because of the Kevin Durant injury. They're not going to have continuity, still massive talent, but the injury was the concern, and it's already happened before KD even plays a home game. Huge upgrade. 20%. Philly.
Wow.
They have the best record in the NBA over the last 4 months. They have won 5 in a row. Embiid just won Player of the Week and might be en route to winning MVP. They are tied with Boston in the loss column, and Harden has been playing outstanding. And then the biggest piece of the pie, just under a quarter of it, Milwaukee, 24%. 20-2 in their last 22, hello, one of those being an overtime loss without Giannis.
Yep.
Giannis has been unbelievable. Drew Holiday making an all-NBA case. I don't think he's going to get there. They do look like a team on a mission. That, Chris Broussard, is this week's title pie.
All right. Obviously, I got issues with the Warriors not being it, getting even a slice. But I think Boston, Nick, I would have Boston a little higher, 9%. I think the only teams I would put them behind would be Milwaukee. So if you, I think they should be higher than Philadelphia. If you want to argue the Suns, but I'm with you, like Kevin Durant, I mean, they're going to have probably less than 10 games together heading into the playoffs. So I think Boston, they just beat Philly last month, not that long ago. They're 3-0 against Philly this year. You know that as well. So I think these are just the dog days. I'm not concerned about this losing streak. So I think
so we're going to talk more Boston in a moment. I am concerned about it because of what it's cost them. They looked like not a lock, but close to it for the one seed. Now they could end up falling to the 3 line, and I feel like they have real issues as far as with some of their rotations with Mazzulla. So for all those reasons, Wilds, what are you doing?
I'm cutting out the pie.
It looks good.
It's one double down and one apology.
Okay.
First, I would like to apologize. Oh, no. First, I'd like to double down.
Yeah.
Because I am giving this huge slice.
Okay, you're not going to be able to actually cut that out.
It's live television. Don't worry about it.
Time is ticking.
We do a lot of cooking segments on this show.
Yeah.
This large slice here, this doesn't look great, but it is great. Don't get me wrong, is going to go to the Milwaukee Bucks. Why, you might add? Ask, that is. Best player, Giannis had 46 points last night. Also got into a little bit of a skirmish. Most wins, best player, no drama, best defensive rebounding team.
Oh, he's eating. Yeah.
And the most wins in the league, but I didn't say that.
Yeah.
Now it's time for the apology.
Oh,
let me see who this is.
I'm interested.
Let me see who this is, you little weasel. I knew it! You little weasel!
Because I like defense.
No, that's...
I like defense.
It's the Lakers, if you guys didn't see. Wilds mocks my graphic. Meanwhile, he flippantly pulls
Lakers,
up a piece of paper that couldn't see it. Go ahead.
So the Lakers defensive rating, Brew, what do you want me to do?
No,
the team is playing great.
I give a shot, too.
Second, number one in all of these, best at defending the three all of a sudden. Vanderbilt comes in, and all of a sudden you're great. Now, the caveat is maybe your guy's a little bit of a defensive liability, and if it comes back, I'm just saying.
Wow.
Those
most of that
numbers.
Is without LeBron. Most of that was without LeBron, but
okay,
but I'm apologizing.
Like 50-50.
So where are you saying? Are they the Western favorite now?
I'm not going to get into favorites. It's called title pie.
But you think they deserve a big piece?
This is my take.
That's like 20%.
That's a
solid piece.
That's a solid. That's a big piece of pie.
That looks bigger than the Phoenix
ridiculous
piece. Is that bigger than the Suns?
How do they have that big of a? How can they have a chance to win the title when they're going to miss the play-in? Which you defiantly laughed at us and defiantly told us. What? You're sorry what?
You did say
new
that.
Stuff happened. What do you want me to, I'm not a fan.
You,
I'm not a LeBron
you
fan. I'm here trying to
them to miss
analyze.
The play-in post-trades. What happened?
They started playing defense.
Well, who could have seen that coming? Except for the analysts on the show that told you.
You knew they were going to be the number one team defending the three? No way.
Number one. I thought they'd be top three, depending.
Yeah, and they're number one. Okay. If they're top three, I would have stuck with it.
Oh, okay. All right.
That's title pie. I'll be honest with you. We're not 100% sure if that segment works. But we're trying our best out here. It's a time for something to hit the panic button. Next, first things first. Welcome back to the Furious 5-Minute segment. Celtics lose to the Rockets by 2 points. Now just one game up on the frisky 76ers. Jaylen Brown had 43, but Tatum went 8 for 22. And the Shingunless Rockets took the W. Here's Joe Mazzulla after the game.
Yeah, those are concerning, the margins. The free throws, the rebounding, the turnovers, the second chance. So those, regardless of who you play, like that's playoff basketball at its finest, is the ability to win those situations. So it's concerning that we're inconsistent in that. And we have to be committed to those.
Okay, as we just saw in Title Pie, a segment that's storming the nation.
Yeah.
You've got the Sixers ahead of the
Celtics, but they are still behind them in the standings.
Well, yeah, tied in the loss column, though. And you know this time of year I'm a loss column guy because you can make up wins, you can't make up losses. And the fact that it's even close is kind of outrageous. 7 weeks ago.
Outrageous.
Yeah, 7 weeks ago, Boston was 6.5 games clear of Milwaukee, was 5 games clear of Philly, and now things have turned. And we can show you this last month, if we can put it up there, what it looks like. It's not just the records, it's also how they're playing. That is since Valentine's Day to right now. Milwaukee's been excellent. Philly's been better than everyone but Milwaukee. And then Boston's been middling. And here's the other problem, other than, of course, they were saddled with the curse of Broussard, which is very, very hard, if not impossible, to overcome.
Those defending
champions. So here is the other issue. I think going into this year, there was some hope of, well, this season, maybe Boston will have the best player in a series against either one of those guys. Does anybody think that could has any chance of happening now?
No.
But do you think – I don't think anybody would have said that before the season.
I think they would have said against Philly.
Better than
Embiid? Against, yeah. I think Tatum was the MVP favorite for the first month of the year. He was.
First month. After
last year.
He's great. I never would have thought he's better than Embiid.
Well, I'll give you that. I think that now we know – going into a series, I feel like, against Boston or Milwaukee, against Philly or Milwaukee, the other team's going to have the best guy on the court, which you can overcome. They did overcome it when they beat Milwaukee last year, obviously, but that was Middleton was out for that series. I just think that it is absolutely fair to say the Celtics right now look like a clear third best team in their own conference.
I wouldn't say clear. Now, look, Milwaukee looks like the best team. That's your pick.
Thank you.
All right. They look like the best team in the East right now, and really in the league, obviously. But I can't put Philly ahead of them because you said it. Okay, the best player in the series, which we know we can go down the line last year, the year before, and see where the best player in the series didn't win. But how about the two best players? Does Philly –
yes.
I mean, and I like Harden, but
yes.
If you're talking about both ends of the floor,
that's not
Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, I probably am taking them. And I love Harden. But Harden, especially in the playoffs, because that's what we're talking about. I'm going with Boston. And then Milwaukee, as much as I like Drew, and Giannis has a gap, but you can argue that Boston's duo is better.
I would take – see, so that's not, to me, the argument for Boston. The argument
that's
for Boston,
not the only
to
argument,
me,
I'm
is
just saying.
The guys 4 through 9 versus those other teams. But I think that the duos, I would take Giannis, Drew 1, Embiid, Harden 2,
in the
and
playoffs,
Tatum, Brown
3. With what we've seen from Harden in the playoffs throughout his career.
No, I understand that. I guess my counterpoint to that would be – we are yet to see Harden, what I would consider a healthy Harden, in the playoffs, not as the guy. When the one series we saw in Brooklyn, he was excellent, and then he got hurt. And again, that was the first round against Boston,
right?
Wasn't it? I'm not saying he's gonna get over all of his playoff bugaboos. I'm not arguing that, but he's clearly better than he was last year for Philly. He's shown that in the regular season. He looks more like himself, and I do think that there is a chance that he is a better version of himself this postseason because he's not the number one option, and he's been the number one option every playoff run.
The number one option last year in the playoffs.
I understand, but last year in the regular season, he wasn't very good either. Last year, he did not look like himself all year post that trade.
They're top five. And look, again, they have been struggling lately, so to speak. The Houston, they clearly took lightly. No offense, that's your team. They took them lightly. They didn't show up.
Necessarily. Yeah,
okay. But they are a top five team offensively and defensively.
But they haven't been for a month.
It's the dog
days. Can we show the graphics post All-Star game last year when they were on fire, and this year, 5-5? So here's the thing. Remember how Luka missed that little bunny and you're like, no big deal? Tatum's done that twice in the last week.
This was way harder than Luka's shot.
But it's still a layup that you miss. And then against the Knicks, he had one that he missed. Now you can say like, all right, maybe he's not I don't know, finishing as efficiently as you want. But these are two layups, and all of a sudden, instead of 5-5, you're 7-3.
There you go.
Yeah,
so you're with me.
No,
well, kind of, but I do think he has trouble finishing.
That one right there, the one against the Knicks is, to me, more in the Luka category. That's a shot he typically makes, and he missed it. The one last night, to me, was not some, you know, like, oh, what? 9 times out of 10, he makes that. That would have been a great play, and he missed it accordingly. He didn't come close on it. But here, Brew, here's where I got to take some issue with some of the excuse making. It can't be when a team that you like is struggling in the first 4 months of the season, it's early, it's early, it's early. And then when a team that you like is struggling with 15 games left, it's the dog days.
Well,
what part of the season matters?
No, but
when are we allowed to
evaluate? It all matters, and they're the second seed right now.
But do
that, it matters. And so what I'm saying is I give some credence to experience. I'm not going to write off the Boston Celtics based on their postseason experience because they have a bad 2 months in the regular
season.
That's
totally
fair. That's what I'm saying.
I guess the point I'm making is when they say worried, I don't think anyone's worried. They're obviously not going to miss the playoffs. I don't think anyone's worried they're going to lose in round one. But this is a team that made the finals last year, that started this year and looked like they are the best team in the league, maybe with league MVP. And am I worried now? Do I actually anticipate now that they will be home after round two? I do.
Well,
I think that, and I also think the one seed in the East is wildly valuable because if we think it's a three-team race, the one seed only's got to beat one of them, and the two or the three has to beat both of them. And I think Boston, because of this slump, has given up a realistic shot at the one seed.
Robert Williams, their defense is where they've been under par lately. All right, subpar. Robert Williams has missed the last 5 games, and I know he wasn't
there
earlier
career.
In the season. But he's supposed. We'll see.
He's
got a hamstring injury. He's supposed to be back soon. That's huge for them. And remember, talking about home court advantage. What did Jason Tatum do in Milwaukee Game 6, facing elimination?
He went toe-to-toe with Giannis.
He went berserk 40-something.
I understand. Right. He was great.
So they can get it done on the road.
Yeah. He's good in the finals.
Believe you me.
Why is Rodgers keeping the Jets waiting?
Little shots.
It's not shots. I'm the facts guy, too. You're rubbing off on me. I had 100 turnovers in the playoffs. You know, if you missed today's show or want to take it on the go, be sure to subscribe to the First Things First podcast. Every episode, you get witty banter, cogent analysis, and we show you a new way to apologize to someone that you love.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's an important skill.
That is wonderful.
That's right.
Wow,
it's NBA medals time. This one going out to the ref.
Wow.
Who sets a pick on Chris Paul so Jordan Poole can hit it.
None too clean.
I wish that was in the two-minute report. I don't think it happened in the last 2 minutes. Referee sets pick.
Bronze medal.
Not good enough to make the medal.
Referee shouldn't have set the pick.
The finisher, Lauri Markkanen, 38-8.
Sure,
you know, I released my preliminary All-NBA teams today. And I had Lauri Markkanen on third team All-NBA. And Brian Scalabrine, who, kids, if you don't remember Brian Scalabrine, just go to YouTube and watch guys falling down the basketball court.
Oh, stop it. NBA champion.
He didn't play when they won the title. He got the ring, but he didn't actually play on that playoff run. But he said that I don't know ball because I had Lauri Markkanen over Julius Randle. I think Lauri's been excellent. I got your back, finisher. Silver medal, Klay Thompson. Look at Wild's caping for the Celtic. Oh, right. NBA champion Brian Scalabrine. 3 points a game. Klay Thompson, 38-5. He gets a silver. He was outstanding. What do you have? 20 in the first quarter, 33 in the first half, and a gold, of course, Giannis, who had 40-10 after three quarters. Finished with 46-12. If he'd pass a little more and play a little worse defense, he could win that MVP conversation. There is the medal stand from last night in the association.
I don't mind Jaylen Brown getting a medal.
For losing to the Rockets?
Still played well.
Okay.
Aaron Rodgers, still not a Jet. In fact, he's made a wish list, including some of his friends, Alan Lazard, Randall Cobb, Mercedes Lewis, and OBJ.
And some reporting saying Lazard is on his way to the Jets.
Oh.
Already.
Of
kind
course
of
he is.
Cart before the horse a little bit.
I don't think so. I think it's quid pro quo? It's like you have to do this, and then I'll agree to the trade.
Okay.
I think that's what's happening,
right? It's done.
You think it's done?
Yeah.
Oh, breaking news.
I mean, he's coming to the Jets. Don't you believe that?
I assume, but what's the holdup?
I think he's just he wants attention. He told us he was going to a dark room for 4 days for the attention. He didn't even stay 3 days, all right?
Oh, I mean, he's really upset that he didn't make it through all four days.
But it's true. I mean, he was supposed to get answers in there. You leave early, we think, oh, he got his answers.
What if his answer was take his time?
Well, apparently it was. He loves the attention. That's all it's about.
I'm all for trying to get your buddies put on and trying to get your buddies paid. I think that it has to be looked at with a somewhat skeptical eye when it is a 53-man roster and a salary cap league. And I get Lazard to a degree because Lazard's a useful player. Cobb next season would be one of the four oldest receivers in the league. Mercedes Lewis this past year was the oldest player in the league. And I think a lot of people want Odell. I don't get it, but I also thought Rodgers would have been a Jet by the end of this show.
You believe it's happening.
Speak up next. Yeah.